What do you request? Those are the words that Nehemiah heard from the king as he was waiting on the king, as he was serving him, as he was, as we heard last week, cupbearer to the king. And in that day, we understand more fully, as we shared in our Bible study last week on Wednesday night, that the cupbearer was a trusted position. It was more than just a servant. But you were the last one to hold the cup. Before the king tasted its wine, you were the last line of defense. If you weren't trustworthy, you would be the most opportune one to poison the king. But not only that. The cupbearer is one who was constantly in the presence of the king. They had to be trustworthy in the sense that they overheard all of the king's business, his conversations. And then also the cupbearer was this. Not only was he a listener and a doer, but he was also an advisor. And it's at this point, understanding the background of Nehemiah's relationship with the king, that we hear the king make a request to him. Completely unheard of. A Jew. One who'd come to that land in bondage, and the king reaching out to him to say, "What is your request?" And you know, we find in that question a temptation of how we might would respond. Consider with me. If you had such a question posed to you from the king, someone of great power, of great authority, of great wealth, perhaps Fred Smith of FedEx Corporation, were he to call you up today and say, "What do you request?" Wow. What would be our response? Or if the governor of our state or the president of this nation were to call us and say, "What's your opinion? What do you request? What can I do for you?" And in this passage, Nehemiah gathers his request, and he places it beside him. And in the midst of this, there's a pause. Because it says, Nehemiah proclaimed this, "So I prayed to God." Wow. You see the surrender? In Nehemiah saying what we often want to proclaim, he's practicing what he preaches. In confirmation the other day, a couple of weeks ago, little Cole Adams, he asked me right in the middle of our, well, this was actually when we were still eating. We were having our snack at that point, Pat. And he asked me a very rude question. You know what Clay said, or Cole said to me? He said, "Brother Jody, do you practice what you preach?" Oh, me. And I started stammering around trying to figure out how I was going to answer it. And what Cole was asking was, "Do you stand up on Saturday morning and do you practice before you preach?" That was the heart of his question. He'd heard the term before, but he wasn't sure exactly what it meant. And my response was, "Cole, I sure try to." Out of the mouths of babes, right? Boy, they can conflict us. They can confront us. What a deep thought Cole had. I love those kids. He and Allie, Ryan, the ones who join with me on a weekly basis and pour life into me. But in this passage, Nehemiah is practicing what he preaches in a realistic sense. We've learned how he's a man of prayer. And here, when the temptation is before him to take it in his own way, to get what he wants, he once again says, "In the spirit of Jesus our Lord, not my will, but yours be done. Let me pray before I speak to the king. Before I request what I want, let me request what God wants for my life, for my people, for my church, for my nation, for my business." What if we place that in our daily walk? Not my will, but yours be done. As we continue this journey of the Christ model of leadership here in our third week of this six-week series, you'll remember that we began this journey with this acronym, CHRIST, celebrating the model of leadership, yes, of our Lord, but also that exemplified in this book of Nehemiah. The first week, the C, does anybody remember what we spoke about? It's important to communicate, to listen, right? Many of you men, a couple of them, maybe two or three after service said, boy, my wife sure needed to listen to that sermon. We need to listen to our family, I said. That was the C, the first step of communication, is listening most of all to God in prayer. And then from the C of that acronym, Christ model of leadership, we move to the H. You remember the H? We spoke of humility. And then the wives came around after that sermon and said, my husband sure did need to listen to that. We both listen, don't we? We strive to embody the nature of our Lord if we want to lead His people. If we want others to follow, we need to walk in a way worthy to be followed. And that began with communicating, with humility. And today, we move on to the letter R in our acronym. And the first example of the letter R is what our scripture begins with us today. Request help from those around us. What a great model of leadership. If we will humble ourselves, if we'll communicate, and we will request help from those around us. That's what Nehemiah does, is he works before the king. But not only does Nehemiah request help, but here's a novel approach. Did you notice here that the king, it seems, also requests help from others? The highest authority. It says that as he convened and visited with Nehemiah, that the queen was there too. I can only imagine that the queen sought, or king sought her opinion, wanted her influence in this decision, as he also wanted Nehemiah's influence before he acted. You see, the king is the one in the power. He's the one who's about to act. He wants to know what Nehemiah's opinion is, and surely the counsel of his wife. He listens. He practices this model of leadership, humility, communication, and he requests the help of others. Isn't that a gift for us? As we serve in leadership of a ball team, or in school, or perhaps at work, or in our community, for us to be willing to share our authority with others, to make decisions by visiting with those that we respect, those that we value, to ask for their input as we seek to embody the nature of Christ. May we humble ourselves and request the influence of others. You know, Jesus modeled that example. He modeled that example with the very first miracle that he performed. The scripture tells us in John 2, as he was at a wedding celebration, celebrating the gift of life through God in marriage, that Jesus, when they ran out of wine, he said to his mother, what do you want me to do? He wanted her input, her influence, before he acted. And then later on, Jesus, as he chose his disciples, he wanted others to engage in ministry with him. As a leader of our faith, as the leader of life, Jesus sought that the most important thing he could do would be to pour life also into others, to train them, disciple them, and to seek their opinions and input as he sought to serve others. He requested help. He planted the seeds for the gospel to go forth without him. You know, I heard recently a friend of mine, Kenny Digby, Jody and I were talking about earlier today. Kenny said this. He said, do you realize that Jesus spent so much time with the beloved disciple, John, He said, perhaps it was this reason. John lived longer than any of the other disciples, into his 90s, as we've talked about recently in our study of the book of Revelation. And then John continued to proclaim Jesus' ministry far beyond him, and then ministered to those after him, where Jesus had a 200-year impact through his own ministry, through John's ministry and John's disciples. You see, it's important to request the help of others. In business, sometimes we call that delegate, to ask others to help us do what we can, and certainly to seek the advisement of others. It's wise advice economically to seek professionals who can help us. It's wise advice in a legal sense, Price, when we need the advice of those who are schooled in the law. It's wise advice in our health concerns. We request the help of those who can guide us and nurture us back to fullness in life. And certainly it's wise advice for us as people of faith, and being leaders for the sake of Jesus Christ. Request the help of those who can guide us. That's the model of leadership here that we see exemplified by the king and by Nehemiah. But you know, the R of the Christ model of leadership, I'm convinced, is not simply and only about requesting help from others. But yes, it begins and remembers that all the help we receive, all the good of those around us, is really rooted and originates from above. Doesn't Scripture tell us that? That all good things come from the giver of life? The one who loves us, as we heard read by Sharon, our Psalm 100 today. Our God is loving and faithful and worthy of our praise. So friends, as we consider the acronym R in leadership, yes, we should request help from others, but we should also revere God and worship Him. And remember, it's not so much what we do to lead people, but it is in following and relying on the strength of the Holy Spirit. Let me say it this way. We remembered on our prayer list the life of Natalie Jackson, a young 30-year-old that died recently, a member of my home church, Mount Zion, friend of many of you. And Natalie, 10 years ago, had a serious, almost life-taking automobile accident. It was in Benton County near Ashland. And she wasn't expected to make it through that wreck. And from that, she had a tracheotomy just to breathe and continued to struggle with her oxygen for the rest of her life. And ultimately, she succumbed to that 10 years after the injury accident. But she lived far beyond what was expected. And her father, Benny, spoke at her service and he said, you know, it's not supposed to work like this. We're supposed to go first. We're supposed to leave our children a legacy. But she left me a legacy instead to try to live up to. And I heard this story. Jimmy Hopper told me just the other day, Pat, that Benny shared with him one time shortly after the accident that Natalie had driven and her car had been thrown far off the road, where a passerby would have to almost be looking for the car to see it. And two young men stopped. Somehow, miraculously, they saw her and they went to her. They gave her care. And one of them pulled out their cell phone and they called 911 and they flew the helicopter in and they got her out of there as quickly as possible so that she would survive the injury. Benny in telling this story to Jimmy said, you know, I went back to the site of that accident the day after. And he said, I walked to the very spot where those men pulled my daughter out of that car. And the place where they made that call that saved her life to 911, he said, I pulled out my mobile phone and I looked down as if to make a call. And I had no service in the same spot where they found help. See, friends, we request help of others. But in the great scheme of life and hope as Christian people, we know from where our help and hope is found. That was certainly a miracle of God's grace in that family. And may we, in the spirit of Nehemiah, embrace those words of worship daily as we seek to lead on behalf of Christ in a Christless world. In a world filled with darkness, may we be light. May we embrace these words of Nehemiah that he ended this passage with. You see, he requested help from the king. He had a plan. The king gave him comfort in what he needed. But here was Nehemiah's response in verse 8. He said this, the king granted what I asked for the gracious hand of my God was upon me. See, Nehemiah understood that it all begins and ends through the grace and glory of our Lord. May we indeed embody the word Sharon read to us this morning. May we worship Him in joy and gladness. You know, I get confused in those words at times. That call to worship for us to revere God, to worship God. Does the psalmist say, come into worship and be glad when we worship? I think so. Or does the psalmist say, come to worship, and when you worship, you will be glad? I think so. It's both and. We grow in the gladness and joy of life when we come into God's holy house in worship. So may we revere Him daily and lead the world in following Him. Amen.